Last week, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced that it would provide $1.25 billion in funds as part of a settlement with black farmers who were excluded from USDA loan programs. Joining me now for a look at the settlement is Krista Thompson, national reporter for The Washington Post. I'm pleased to welcome her to our show, to our second underreported segment of today's show. Hi.
Thank you. Hi.
According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, only 1.5% of the nation's farms are operated by African Americans. How many farmers were excluded from the federal farm loan programs?
They're untold numbers. It looks like 70,000, as many as 70,000 could qualify under this settlement last week.
According to Congresswoman Barbara Lee, over the past 20 years, the number of farms operated by black farmers has declined by nearly 50%. Do we know if those farmers have been driven out because they didn't have access to loan funds?
A lot of farmers will blame the Department of Agriculture and the discriminatory lending practices. They'll tell stories about sitting down with the farm servicing agent and saying, look, I need this money to plant my crops, and have their application summarily thrown into a trash can in their faces. They're horrible stories.
Was there any explanation given as to why the federal government was engaging in what amounts to a racist policy?
Well, it's such a big and an unruly agency that farm servicing agents in southern states and across the country were able to sort of operate in isolation. And these stories were being sent back up to headquarters and basically piled up in an office, and no one was manning the civil rights division.
Was it just lending programs? Were they also excluded from access to subsidies?
It was primarily lending programs, but also USDA has some housing programs, and so it was pretty much across the board. Anything that went through the farm servicing agencies, they came through these gentlemen who had southern ways and some racist ideals, and not only African Americans, but now we see Native Americans, Hispanic, and women farmers who are also suing the government.
So has the USDA been able to repair its relationship with minorities?
The agricultural secretary now says that's, basically a part of what he wants his legacy to be there. And the Obama administration has said forcefully that they want to, right these wrongs and put things behind them. But there's a reason that the agency has been called the last plantation. Even as political leadership changes, we see that, you have the same staff that tends to stay in place, and so that's the big question, whether they can really move some of these people who made these horrible decisions out of the way.
How long has this been going on? At one point, didn't black farmers take over a regional office in Brownsville, Tennessee?
They did, and this case can only date back to, I think it's 1981, but farmers will tell you stories from a lot farther back than that.
There was a settlement in 1999 when the government agreed to pay $1 billion to black farmers. Is this new settlement related to that suit?
It is related. What happened in that case was there were 16,000 farmers who got a portion of that $1 billion. And then come to find out, there were tens of thousands of farmers who felt like they should have qualified but filed their paperwork too late for certain reasons. And Congress came back and said, we want these guys to be able to get justice as well. So in 2008, they passed a law that opened this lawsuit back up. So this settlement is directly related to that first one.
The Obama administration has hired field investigators at the Department of Agriculture for the first time since 1997. Is that part of an effort to improve oversight of these loan programs?
It is. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack will basically say that for the last 8 years, the Civil Rights Division over there has kind of been shut down. When he got into office, he said there were something like 11,000 complaints that hadn't even been heard. So a lot of what they're doing is just playing catch-up and sort of, trying to look deeply at the problems that have occurred over the past several years and then make changes so that the same things don't happen going forward.
Is he suggesting that things were okay during the Clinton years and then they were just ignored during the Bush administration years?
That the politics do come into play somewhat, but when you talk to the black farmers, they've been through three or four presidents and haven't seen any change, so they're frustrated all around.
I'm talking with Krista Thompson, national reporter for The Washington Post. In our second underreported segment, we're talking about the USDA settlement with black farmers. John Boyd, the president of the National Black Farmers Association, has been very vocal in urging for the settlement. Hadn't he received funds in the first settlement?
He did. I actually talked to John earlier today, and he's on the Hill talking to folks, trying to make sure Congress appropriates the money so that this settlement is finally a done deal. And he did receive money in the first round, but has sort of taken this up as a lifelong cause, representing the other farmers and trying to make sure just as many as possible. You know, these guys are aging. Some have already lost their farms, that they would receive some measure of justice in their lifetime.
Was John Boyd able to keep his farm going despite being excluded from all those previous federal loan programs?
He has been able to keep his farm going. The $50,000 payout that he was able to get in the first settlement helped. He bought tractors and equipment, that sort of thing. He mans, you know, soybeans and those sorts of crops out in South Hill, Virginia.
Does this go all the way back to Reconstruction and the matter of 40 acres and a mule, or is this a more modern situation?
You know, in a lot of the farmers' minds, they're tied. This sort of discriminatory practice and the money that these farmers are getting is a modern issue, and it's, you know, it only dates back as far as the 1980s, but this sense of farming and Black culture and Southern culture and the roots from coming off the plantation and having your own land, that sort of pride and connection to the land that these farmers feel, and the loss of that land and the loss of the farms in the community does have, you know, really connect. It has a direct line to, you know, slavery and not getting the 40 acres and the mule.
Do eligible farmers now have to apply for these new funds?
They do. There's a process, which is basically the settlement that was announced last week, that they have to go through. There isn't as much, they don't have to do as much investigation and pull together all sorts of paperwork to qualify for this $50,000 settlement that the government set aside. But if they want to get a larger claim and if they have the paperwork that can prove their case, they could qualify for a substantially greater amount of money.
They could apply for damages of up to $250,000, but as I understand it, the payouts will depend on how many people apply.
Exactly, yeah. And so if you talk to John Boyd, the farmer who is president of the National Black Farmers Association, he was really trying to get more than this $1.25 billion because the $1 billion payout in 1999 went to 16,000 farmers. Now you have up to 70,000 farmers who are applying for this $1.25 billion, and when that money is gone, it's gone.
He said it should be more like $2.5 billion.
Yeah.
Now, you said those other farmers have all turned up because they either applied too late or they were unaware of the original suit?
Right. There was a period where it was reopened for late filers. And so someone who's just hearing about this case now and who did not apply as a late filer for the first settlement would not qualify. But those who sent in and said, hey, I didn't hear about this in time within the 60-day window that the government has set aside, those folks can now apply for this money.
The Obama administration is said to be trying to settle lawsuits dealing with civil rights. What other cases have they focused on?
Well, one that has already been settled deals with Native Americans and land trusts that also goes back decades. The USDA in particular is also in settlement talks with women farmers, with Native American farmers, and with Hispanic farmers who find themselves similarly situated to African American farmers.
Didn't the Obama administration suspend foreclosures for 90 days last April to see if there were discriminatory practices being used?
They did, and that's part of what the USDA is doing, to just kind of put what they can on hold until they can get the house in order there.
Well, the $1.25 billion settlement has to pass Congress. Right now, all we're hearing in Washington is about holding back spending.
Mm-hmm.
Is it likely that this is just going to sail through Congress?
Well, that's a big question mark. You know, I've put some calls out on the Hill, and when you talk to members of the Congressional Black Caucus and folks like James Clyburn from South Carolina, who at one time ran the South Carolina Farm Workers Commission, you hear, you know, a real passion for getting this done. But you're right, they now have PAYGO rules, and you don't want to add to the federal deficit, and we're in this recession and talking about health care reform. So there is real concern among the farmers that this is, again, more talk after more than a decade of trying to make sure they get this money. Of course, they would have liked to have it yesterday.
And since Congress moves very slowly, usually, isn't there a deadline, March 31st, or the farmers can walk away from the settlement?
They can. They can. And, you know, when you talk to government officials, they sort of see that as a technicality. When you look at the calendar that Congress is on, they have a recess coming up in April. Obviously, they're trying to deal with health care and other things, and no one has at this time set a timetable to say that the farmers will have their money by X date.
Well, what happens if the March 31st deadline isn't met? Could the farmers walk away from a settlement? And if that were the case, what would happen then?
They could. It's not likely. It's not likely that they will, because this, you know, really works into their favor. What the parties will probably do is just grant an extension, and you know, with the big press release and the hoopla, and as much as the Obama administration has been talking about putting these things behind this, you know, it would be a lot of egg on their face for them not to make sure that the money is taken care of as quickly as possible.
Where are most of the black farmers located? In the South?
They are. They are still in the South. You'll see them in states like, you know, Georgia, Virginia, Alabama. Coming up, you know, through February, before the settlement was announced, they held a series of, you know, small protests at farm services offices throughout southern states.
And as we said earlier, in Brownsville, what was it, Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is still also a volatile local issue, not just a national issue.
Right. And for many of the farmers, it does feel quite local, because the person that they were looking at and who denied the loans was someone who lived in their community, in the counties, in many cases, where they farmed.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. Krista Thompson is a national reporter for The Washington Post, and we've been discussing the USDA settlement with black farmers, but it has to go through Congress. It's part of our unreported series.
Thank you.